Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned, the text for our consideration tonight is from Mark chapter 4. Just want to once again highlight those words. Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still lack faith?" It was a blockbuster movie nearly 20 years ago, starring George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg. It took me a while to actually see the movie, but I had read the book, The Perfect Storm. It is the only book I've ever read that actually made my palms sweat while I was reading it. I do tend to get into books probably more than most people with, you know, just imagining it, but I've never had a book cause my palms to sweat. It was quite the deal. If you're not familiar with the story, it's a story about a fishing boat called the Andrea Gale, and they sail out of Gloucester, Massachusetts. They really need to hit a big score to be able to pay off debts and move on with life and all kinds of things. It's a true story. They head out onto the Grand Banks, and they lay into the fish. It's fantastic. They're, of course, in communication, letting people know what's going on. They're loading up with fish. What they don't realize is what's coming. There are three separate storms, each of which would be remarkable in and of themselves. And all three of them collide over this lone fishing boat out in the middle of the North Atlantic. By the time they know it's coming, they're too far from land to make landfall. All they can really do is head for home and try to ride out the storm. As the book was more than 20 years ago and the movie was 20 years ago, I don't feel I'm spoiling anything by telling you. Oh, I see some eyes rolling already. So should I say? I guess I don't mind telling you. I'll just tell you, they don't make it. Amen. They don't make it, but what it does tell you or give you an appreciation for is what it was like out on the Sea of Galilee. Now, those fishermen are dealing with 100-foot waves, which is a little bit different than probably how big the waves were in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and yet, by the time you do the ratio down from the big waves to the smaller waves and the smaller fishing boats, you get a pretty good idea of what those disciples were facing out there, out on the Sea of Galilee. We face all kinds of storms in our life too. And I'm not talking, as you can imagine, I'm not talking about hurricanes and tornadoes, though we do. I'm talking about all the stuff that happens in life. All the ups and downs, all the choices and challenges and things that we have to face in life. Thing is we can't just head for land. We're out there on the sea of life and we have to ride out those storms. Only we have every hope of surviving because, like the disciples, we too have Jesus with us and we can be confident that through it all, God is accomplishing exactly what he wants to in us and through us, just like the disciples drew on that boat in the Sea of Galilee so long ago. And as we consider that here tonight, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. This account is also found in Matthew and Luke, but tonight we are looking at it from the Gospel according to Mark. His account of this amazing story begins, "When evening came, Jesus said to them, 'Let's go over to the other side.' After leaving the crowd behind, the disciples took him along in the boat just as he was. Other small boats also followed him. Jesus had just spent the day telling a series of parables and making points about the kingdom of God, one of which was the parable of the sower and the seed, if that helps you at all, kind of place where Jesus is. It's early in his ministry. The crowds have gathered on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, sort of a natural auditorium, if you will, as he steps out on a boat, get a little way from shore, preaches to the people, but now it's been a long day. Jesus is tired. And the thing is, if he goes on to shore, all the people are going to crowd around him, and that day is just going to get longer. And so Jesus says, let's go to the other side. Well, boats, fishing, lakes, that's what the disciples are good at. So Jesus nestles into a nice cushion there in the stern of the boat. The disciples get things ready. They head out across the lake, and it wasn't just the one boat, but there were other several smaller boats with them as they went. But then things turn ugly. Mark records, a great windstorm arose, and the waves were splashing into the boat, so that the boat was quickly filling up. Sea of Galilee is notorious for these types of storms. It sits nestled down in the bluffs with valleys on all sides, and what can happen is these storms come rolling in, they come screaming down those valleys to hit the surface of the lake with little or no warning. So it wasn't unusual for the disciples to face just such a storm. What was unusual was how strong it was. Matthew described the storm with the force of an earthquake. You ever heard a storm described with the force of an earthquake? Mark and Luke describe it as that of a hurricane. But whatever word you choose to describe it, obviously there was a churning that was going on, a heaving and a crashing of the water into the boat, filling it up. Obviously, things were not good for that small fishing boat and the other boats with them out on the water. I think sometimes maybe we sell the disciples a little short. Some of the things, the obvious things that they missed right in front of them, some of the things that they blurted out without thinking, we kind of chalk them up as, you know, simple men, maybe not the sharpest knives in the drawer, if you're familiar with that expression. But in this case, they were professionals. They were experts. They knew fishing, they knew their nets, they knew their boats, they knew how to handle their boats out on the lake, they knew how to handle whatever came out across that lake at them. They knew what they were doing. And yet here they are out on the water, struggling. Nothing they did seemed to help. Again, the fury of the storm. The waves were splashing into the boat so that the boat was quickly filling up. No matter how they turned the boat, no matter how much they bailed, no matter what they did, they could not keep the boat from filling up, and it's starting to sink right beneath them. Certainly a desperate situation out there on the Sea of Galilee. You ever feel desperate like that? Like you're out there on the Sea of Life, facing those storms, and things are getting desperate. Nothing seems to be going your way. Your little one has a virus that she just can't shake. Your spouse was diagnosed with cancer, and the prognosis doesn't look good. The bills are piling up, and you don't have the funds to pay them. Or even worse, that job at work that seems so secure is now shaky, and you don't know if you're going to have a job next week, much less next year. How are you going to provide? How are you going to live? How are you going to make it through? Desperation. These are big deals. And the thing is, it doesn't even have to be a big deal like that, because you know as well as I do that what Satan really likes to do is pile up a bunch of little things. Because the little things, we think, like the disciples, we can handle it. Those little problems come along and they go, I'll handle that one, and then I'll handle that one, and sure, I can handle that one too. And all of a sudden, there is this wave of little things that pile up and wash over us and leaves us swamped and desperate, not sure what to do, not knowing how to handle it. And here we are, the boat feeling like it's sinking right down beneath us. Now, at what point the fear hit the disciples, Mark doesn't really say, but eventually they recognized that nothing they could do was going to fix that situation, and they were foolish for trying. They were helpless, they were being tossed about, they were in danger of losing their lives, terrified, desperate, and they had one chance. Doesn't that sound like a good movie situation? They had but one chance. And you know what it is. You know who it is. It's Jesus. Jesus himself was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. They woke him and said, Teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown? Don't you just want to say to the disciples, duh, Jesus is right there. You know, how many times did they have to like move around him to bail out the stern of the boat, move, you know, he's just sawing wood, sleeping away. I mean, I know he's a carpenter and all, but he was figuratively sawing wood, sleeping on that cushion while they're running around frantic trying to get things done. It seems so impossible that they could have missed him. But you know how it is. We do it too. As life is washing over us, we're so busy, so frantic, so desperate, and what do we forget? That Bible that sits on the kitchen table. That devotion book that sits on the bedstand. The Bible verses that come up automatically in your email or maybe on your phone in a daily app. We forget about them. Because we're so caught up in the storm with everything that's going on. And the thing is, it isn't just about trying to make it through life. It's also trying to make it through sin. You know, when those temptations come along, when Satan tries to pull us away from God, when our own sinful selves betray us, when the world around us is trying to turn us into be like them and not like Christ, you try to white knuckle it. Try to do it on your own. I'm going to get this. Or do you turn to Jesus? Do you forget that he's right there with you to give you the strength? Do you drop to your knees in prayer? Do you grab that Bible? Do you turn on the audiobook? Whatever it takes, do you turn to Jesus? Because he's right there. And look at the results when you turn to him. As you go back to the story, Jesus is in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. They woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to drown?" And he's just calm. You know, he doesn't wake up and go, "Oh, I had no idea this was going on." Jesus wakes up. Yep. Walks up, stands up in the boat, and says three words in the English. It's just two in the Greek. Peace. Be still. So seemingly insignificant, and yet spoken by the Savior of the world, and it all goes completely calm. Just like that. Here's a picture in your worship folder I think is kind of neat. It's one that I've appreciated. You see Jesus standing in the boat, and it shows the storm kind of moving off. Like all of a sudden this high front just came rolling in, except it was instant. It was right away the storm was gone. Now, whether there were clouds, we don't know. Whether there was rain, we don't know. All we know is that it was heaving and churning, and then it was completely calm. Have you ever tried to do that? I mean, I know there were storms last week. Did you step outside and go, "Peace, be still"? No, you wouldn't, because you're a human being. And you wouldn't get obedience from the storm. You'd just get wet. That's why we don't try it. But here's Jesus, also true man. He speaks, and nature obeys. Why? Because he is also true God. And that's what we learn. We learn that Jesus faced the same temptations that you and I do, faced the same challenges, the same struggles. And yet as true God, he had the power to overcome them because he knew that we didn't have the power to do it on our own. He knew that when he stepped into our world and took care of our sin, he was taking care of what we needed taken care of, something that we couldn't do on our own. And because of that, he brought peace. He brought stillness to our lives, to our world, and to our hearts. A peace that transcends all understanding. Of course, Jesus didn't just calm things that day. He wanted to take those disciples even further, just like he wants to take you and me further too. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still lack faith?" It's almost as if Jesus is saying, "Okay, you just saw that. Now where are you? Did that do anything for you, what I just did? Did that strengthen your faith? Did that encourage you? Does that help you to understand who I am?" Jesus gently calls those disciples to recognize that this Jesus, this rabbi who is teaching all day, is not just some great teacher, but he's the Son of God, the Messiah, the one promised for ages, the one who was sent to take care of everything. And they recognized him for who he was. Jesus strengthened their faith. They said with awe, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." You know, he comes to you and me and says the very same thing. When he accomplishes things in our lives, when he assures us that our sin is taken away, when he guarantees us with his very blood that we have a place in heaven, when he can, well, make lemonade out of lemons in our lives. Jesus comes and he says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you see what I just did? Do you still lack faith? Or is it there? Is it growing? Do you recognize the Spirit at work?" Through his word, Jesus calls us back to focus on him. Forget about the storm. Look just to Jesus, our Savior, our King, our power over every storm of life, every problem, every temptation, every sin, no matter how great, we can place into the divine hands of our Savior Jesus. And with one little word, he calms it all, brings peace, peace between us and God, peace between us and our challenges and problems of life, peace between us and for eternity. Because of the promises he makes to us in his word, we can be confident that not only will we make it through the storm, but that he'll get us to be exactly where he wants us to be and create us to be the people that he wants us to be. You may not have a choice when it comes to riding out the storms of life, but you do have a Savior in whom you can be confident through the struggle that he will bring you through till he brings you home. With the psalmist we pray, or with the hymnist we pray, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." Amen.